time the wind blows puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago. It's time for Abandoned Manitoba, and last week, Gordon Goldsborough reminded us that at one time, the Eaton's department store chain could provide anything that a person wanted, ranging from food to clothes to appliances. They could supply plans and even entire buildings ready to assemble. He also then mentioned something about an abandoned building north of Swan River. So how are the two connected? Well, Gordon joins me now in studio. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia.
So what are we talking about this week?
Well, we are looking at a particular little building called McKinley School, which is near the town of Birch River, about 25 miles northeast of Swan River, up in the western part of the province. But more generally, we're looking at the concept of Eaton's buildings.
Okay, now, in case any of our younger listeners, if they haven't heard of Eaton's, can you remind them?
Well, of course, Eaton's was a very large retail chain that started in Toronto by a fellow named Timothy Eaton, hence the Eaton's part of the name, back in 1869. And he dispatched one of his sons here to Winnipeg in 1904 just to explore what possibilities there might be. And he said, "Dad, there is lots of opportunities." So they built an enormous retail store on Portage Avenue, in fact, not far from the studio here, that opened in mid-1905. And it became a retail juggernaut across Western Canada.
Now, in addition to its retail store, Eaton's also sold products by mail, right?
Yes, right. Yeah. In fact, it began issuing a catalog that it could be used for mail order sales in 1884. You know, in other words, people who weren't near the retail store could get the catalog, could choose an item from it, would send the item, the order by mail, and then the dutifully would be brought back, usually by train. And that was an incredible way, particularly if you lived in remote areas. And of course, here on the prairies, when settlers began arriving in the 20th century, you know, they didn't have a lot of retail options. I mean, they might be in a little town where there might be a little general store. They might not be anywhere near a store. And therefore, the only chance they had to purchase a lot of products was through the Eaton's catalog. So it really revolutionized rural life in the 20th century.
So when did Eaton's begin selling buildings?
Well, we don't have an exact date, but the first Eaton's catalog that mentions buildings was the spring and summer catalog of 1910. The first catalog that actually showed the buildings that you could purchase was the fall and winter catalog of 1910. So basically, what it says is that if you know of an Eaton's building, it will likely date from 1910 or newer. That's when it kind of started. So, and of course, these buildings that they showed in their catalog ranged enormously. So they went from very modest, you know, single-story buildings up to fairly elaborate two-story structures, you know, basically catering to a wider range of tastes. And the way it worked was, I thought, quite clever. They would show you a picture of the building in the catalog. They would show you a little floor plan so that you could look at it and go, yeah, that's the one I want. That's the one that will work well for me. So you'd send them a dollar. And they would send you back some blueprints, which would basically show you how the building would be built. But that was even better, because then if you decided, yep, that's the building I want, you would then order the materials from Eaton's, the actual pieces to build this building, and they would provide everything. They would provide the timber, the hardware, the millwork, basically all, everything you needed to build the house or the whatever the structure was. You could walk right in and start living in it. But you'd pay a dollar to get the blueprints, and then if you placed an order, you'd get the dollar back, and then you'd get the actual architect's drawings. Because the idea was that the blueprints weren't quite detailed enough, unless you were a good builder, to build the building. So you'd have to buy those blueprints that came with the big package that also came with all of the parts as well.
So these buildings were in the same catalog where you could buy clothes and other items. So who were these people that bought buildings from a catalog?
I think anyone, really. Not only just because it was an easy way to build a building, you didn't need to have an architect, for example. The cost of having an architect to draw plans could range anywhere from, now keep in mind this is like 100 years ago, anywhere from $25 to $75, and that's a lot of money back in those days. So instead, you got the plans for free. So there was a saving there. But in addition, because Eaton's had such enormous purchasing power, you know, they were a big company, they could buy in large quantities, you could build a building far cheaper than you could probably build it any other way. So just to give you an idea, the houses that they advertised could be built from anywhere from $700 to $1,600. Think of it, an entire house. for $700. But what it says is, you know, this was a very economical way to get a place to live.
Tell us about the connection of McKinley School and Eaton's.
Well, okay, so in addition to selling plans for houses, they sold other things as well. They sold plans for barns and granaries. They sold plans for schools. That was pretty logical because there were needs for schools all over Western Canada. Thousands of, you know, small one-room schoolhouses, for example. So in 1932, the people living in the area of McKinley School, again up in the Swan River Valley, purchased the plans, at least as far as I can tell. And they named the school after the guy who provided the site where the school was to be built, a guy named Jack McKinley.
And how can a person tell that the McKinley School is based on the Eaton's plans?
Well, there's no sign that says this was built on Eaton's planning. That just wasn't part of it. So what you have to do is kind of look at the similarity of the design. So in the catalog, they listed what they called school plan number 690. Right. And there was fairly distinctive features of school 690. So, for example, if you look at the roof line, it's what's called a hip roof, where all sides, all four sides of the roof come up to the point. That's fairly characteristic. They would have what's called a faux dormer, you know, a sort of a fake window into the roof line. It wasn't a real window. There wasn't an attic. So in other words, but it was sort of a decorative, sort of a cosmetic aspect of the building. They had a chimney in a certain place. So if you saw the chimney relative to the dormer, that was a giveaway. And then they had this little vestibule on the front, because keep in mind, this was often out in the open prairies. You didn't want to have to open the door and walk right into the classroom. The cold winter winds would blow right in. Instead, they had a little entryway that you go into and then go into through a second entrance into the school. So they had this little entry vestibule. They had five windows along one side where all the sunlight could come in for the kids to be able to see, you know, what they were working on. So if you combine all those characteristics together, you can identify a building made according to plan 690. They all look very characteristic in that way.
What condition is the school in now?
The McKinley School? Oh, well, the years have not been kind, unfortunately. When we visited the site in 2014, the building was in really bad shape. There were large holes in the ceiling. The interior was filled with junk. It was clear that the snow had come in, the rain, the animals. It was pretty badly damaged. So it's been abandoned, I think, for quite a long time.
Are there any other schools built using Eaton plans?
Well, there's the question. In fact, initially, when I started thinking about this question, I came across two schools that I thought were based on the Eaton's plan, the McKinley, and then another one called Pine Valley. But then I thought, well, maybe I should dig a little deeper. So I went back to a collection of photos that the Provincial Department of Education had taken in the 1920s and 30s. They went around and took pictures of all of the schools in Manitoba, over 2,000 of them. So I went through those 2,000-some pictures, comparing it to the Eaton's plan. And in the course of that, I found 46 that had been built according to that Eaton's plan. And then I thought, well, I wonder how many of those 46 are still around with us today. And so, in fact, I found 9 built on the Eaton's plan. And if anybody's interested, I actually will put a list of them on the website of the Manitoba Historical Society if you want to see these various surviving Eaton's plan schoolhouses.
2,000 pictures. I love how diligent you are, Gordon Goldsborough. Thank you so much for this.
You're welcome, Nadja.
How about next week?
Well, all I'm going to say is that we're going to look at a 117-year-old building here in Winnipeg that has been waiting for salvation.
I love your clues. Thank you so much, Gordon.
You're welcome.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.